Coming to you from the Armed American Radio Studios on Peachtree Street in downtown Atlanta, this is Armed American Radio. Here is Mark Walters.
Ooh, isn't that beautiful? You want to hear that again? Oh, yeah. That's not a sound effect, ladies and gentlemen. That is the real McCoy. In fact, that is the new 22 Generation 4 Glock that was added to my stable over the past week or two. And I have another one that I've just added to the corral. We'll talk about that coming up in just a few minutes. 877-956-9566. Mark at armedamericanradio.org. Twitter.com/AARMark. All three of those means of technology and communication get you on the roundtable tonight, where I am very pleased to be rejoined with my co-host Rob Pincus. Rob, welcome back. The round table. We let the hair down.
There we go. Round table. My favorite part of the show.
This is it. Tell everybody who we got on the line, too, because we got two of the usual suspects.
We got Morgan and George. George Hill, you there? Maybe.
It is a pleasure and a privilege.
There he is.
There he is with his pleasure and a privilege, right? George, Rob, we got another one, too, don't we?
Morgan, you out there?
I am. I'm right here.
Outstanding. This is like the regular thing. This is the four guys every third week at least. I'm going to be here. You guys are here just about every week. This is the good times. What do we got on tap tonight, Mark?
Well, first off, I got a little technical thing here, and I want to clear this up. A little bit off the topic of guns, but I want the listener to be happy. And there are a lot of people who can't pick us up live for whatever reason. And they'll tune in the next day and pick us up on a podcast version. So I want to read this email. Mark, I really like the content of your show. However, I have a real issue that I find really troubling. You really need to politely ask your guests to speak up. And that was capitalized. I love it. Last week with your guest Dave, even in the studio with you, was almost impossible to hear what he was saying. Other hosts and shows I listen to have no problem asking their guest or phone callers to speak up. Why don't you? Is it a problem with your producer? I can't believe I'm the only one who has this issue. If you listen to the podcast, you will see just how bad it is. Maybe you have equipment problems. Please listen to hour one of the podcast. Regards. Now, that's from Bob. And what I'm going to do is allow my producer to come on real quick and answer that question, because there is an answer to that question. Sean, can you jump on and explain that?
Yes. It's what it is the podcast is a feed straight from the board. And the reason why it's low in some areas and high in some other areas is because when you listen to terrestrial radio, and a lot of radio stations have processors, and they're called mic processors, they level out everything. So you have a constant feed and a constant level of volume. And that's why it's like that, because the feed that you hear on the podcast is just a regular raw feed with nothing done to it.
Now, I should explain that when the broadcast is going out over the airwaves live, and this is live terrestrial radio, this is not a podcast, this is a live terrestrial radio show heard on dozens of cities across the country right now at this moment in time, we put the podcast recording up from the network on the website as a courtesy for folks who can't listen to it. And as Sean just said, you're going to get that raw feed. When you're listening to it live, the audio levels the board is being ridden by the producer who is keeping those audio levels up. So the live feed sounds exactly the way it's supposed to sound. So, you know, we'll try to work on that a little bit. We'll do the best we can, but it is not a podcast. It's a live radio show. Please keep that in mind. I hate to ask you to turn it up a little bit, but it's great to know that it aggravates you, because that means you're digging the content. So let's move on to guns. We're back. Thanks very much for that, Sean. Hey, Rob, start us out. Pick a topic, man. The roundtable's a lot of fun.
Let's see, roundtable topic. Well, here, the topic of the week for me, I mentioned it earlier, has been this multiple target engagement. We did a piece on Best Defense a couple weeks ago, and I had some really good feedback. And I would take it back. I had all really good feedback on it. Some of it was positive. Some of it was critical. And the number one critical piece that we got was it seemed like an awfully advanced drill. And, you know, that's something we deal with on TV is, what are we going to show? We can't keep showing, you know, something assuming someone's never touched a firearm. We have to assume that they've watched the DVD set of season one or watched last year and they're joining the middle. So So I guess, you know, I don't know if you guys have seen that piece or heard me talk about it or read the newsletter article that went out today, but, you know, we are big proponents of the idea with the combat focus shooting and ICE and even at the Best Defense that if you're defending yourself and you get startled, you get attacked, you're going to focus on that first attack. And until you're done with that guy or you're distracted by something else, another attack, which the body is designed really well to ignore, you're not going to be turning your attention to somebody else. So the idea is that engaging for personal defense training by shooting a plate rack, for example, and swinging through multiple targets as if you were, you know, an assassin or as if you got a range briefing of where all the bad guys were going to be isn't very realistic. And we actually need to be training for that assessment phase after we deal with a threat. And that may be an advanced training topic, but I think it's one worth talking about. What say you guys?
I believe that, too. Morgan and George, hold on 1 second. Let me direct it over to you because we have four people at the table, so we don't talk over. I'm surprised, Rob, that you got some critical feedback. Maybe it's because I've had multiple attacker training that it didn't seem too advanced. However, I guess, to a novice shooter or someone who just gets out once in a while for whatever reason and can hit the steel plates or just, the stapled-up target, it would seem that way. George, you do a lot of training. Do you find the same thing Rob found?
Well, training and putting on a show are two different things. When you're putting on the show, you've got to gauge or decide on if you're going to sell your product or if you're going to make a show towards an educated audience or the uneducated audience. For example, when I was writing articles for Concealed Carry, I always considered the audience to be uneducated. So I would explain things in detail that writing for an educated audience, I wouldn't have to explain because I just assumed that they would know or they would be able to use the power of Google and find out for themselves. Either way, when you're putting on a show, it's different. When you're training, you know, you gauge the class, well, first off, by you're telling the class this is going to be a basic class or this is an advanced class, and the basic guys can go to the basic course and the advanced guys can go to the advanced course. So you kind of have that filter going on already. So, you know, Best Defense TV, to me, sounds like it's a little bit more of an educated audience than a normal gun show would be.
Rob, do you when you approach the multiple attacker training like you did, do you get a lot of novice shooters? Where do you put them in that line? Because it is advanced. You don't want to throw somebody who's you know, first time up with a revolver into that. Or do you? Maybe you do.
Well, here's what happens. We generally, if you know, the normal, I always fall back to our combat focused shooting program. A normal program is a 2-day program. It's a weekend course or 2 days during the week. And generally that comes on day one. And the reason it comes on day one is because the multiple target drills, when you teach it as separate recognitions, when you teach it as really burning in the idea that you're going to deal with one threat, when you recognize that that threat is no longer immediate, get that gun back in your ready position, start assessing your environment and look for someone else, it teaches us really, really solid, good, practical, close quarters, defensive firearms handling and burns in that assessment phase. So we actually do teach that on day one as your introduction to intuitive defensive shooting skills.
Good. And you did what? Now, I've seen it. Okay, but I want you to explain it. You have three targets on the multiple attacker drill, correct?
Well, it depends. You know, the important part there is that there is more than one target, and the training methodology is that it's initiated by the instructor with one command, and then the shooter will determine when it's appropriate to stop shooting at the one command. Of course, it's visualizing a threat, and then transfer back to an assessment phase, look for that second attacker, and of course we call it suspending disbelief. You just kind of forget that other guy's there. It's not an IDPA stage or a steel challenge, you know, speed course where you know that guy's there. It's the real world. You're going to have to find that other guy. Unless you're getting attacked by people who are in a three-legged race, he's not going to be right there next to him like a plate rack.
And you've also got that shooter moving too, which is great. It's a great
Absolutely.
Drill. Yeah, it's a great drill. And George, you are you've committed to getting out to the combat focus training with Rob out in Virginia Beach, have you not?
Yeah, coming up April. April, what is it, 19th to the 22nd, something like that?
Yeah, that's going to be, man, George, I appreciate that, man. It really means a lot to me that you're going to come out from Utah and make a step towards getting your training cadre on the Combat Focus program. You're going to come out and attend that course and try to get certified. I think that is awesome. I really appreciate that. And that's going to be an awesome course. We got two guys coming over from Europe. A lot of guys who are spear instructors who work with the Tony Blauer Spear and Personal Defense Readiness Program. And we're actually offering that course with right after a PDR certification over the weekend. So that's going to be an amazing course, an amazing group of instructor candidates. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that'll be fun, too. Hey, George, I need you to hold the thought because we're going to go into a break for just a second.
Okay,
but that is really cool that you're going to get out and do that. Rob's pretty pumped about getting you out there and my old stomping grounds, too, in Virginia Beach. That's great. When we come back, we're going to talk with Morgan about my new Glocks and George's new Glocks. Rob, you're going to love this because let's just say you're going to love it. It's a great conversation that George and I have had off the air. You're on the Armed American Radio Network with Rob, Mark, George, and Morgan. We'll be right back.
Going into battle, you would want all the ammunition for your gun you could get. But presently, ammunition and reloading supplies are in shortage. Now think about this. If you have no food, all the guns and ammunition will be useless against the population-controlled breadlines. In the present battle for freedom and the lives of your loved ones, food is your most important and only true ammunition. How much do you want? When do you want it, now or after the battle starts? When will you need it? Will you buy it without proper identification? Will it make your children sick? Quarantine? Will you feed yourself or go to the gathering center for immunization? All of these problems disappear if you have a good supply of storable food. Food is your ammunition to fight for your freedom and your life. How much will you need? We don't know. How much do you want? All you can get. Storable food puts you in control. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. Call 800-409-5633.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
Is your life a whirr? Do you find yourself coming and going at a pace that would leave a coffee-drinking Jack Russell Terrier in the dust? Would you like to just slow down and get out of the rat race? Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby with the 3-Step Plan Home Business System. Slow down and have a less stressful, happier life by building a home business. Go to 3stepplan.com or call 800-895-6545. 800-895-6545.
Are you a firearms owner? Do you live in an urban area that is susceptible to natural or man-made disasters? If so, you need to visit 9survive.com. When you do, you'll quickly learn vital survival skills such as how to avoid making your prepared family a target for looters and the unprepared masses, Jedi mind tricks to keep you in the fight long after your friends have burned out, and how to fix the top 10 mistakes people make with 72-hour kits. You can learn these skills and more by signing up for our free 9-day mini course at 9survive.com. That's the number 9survive.com.
Now, back to the Armed American Radio Network show. We're talking about guns, ammunition, and the right to bear arms. This is the Armed American Radio Network. Here again, Mark Walters.
I bet y'all wish I was still in office, don't you? Bet you do. Maybe even my wife. My wife be a better president than this guy. I just couldn't say it during the campaign. Hey, guys, check it out. I want that pilot on my next flight. He'd have me cheering all the way from coach. Did you guys happen to hear the pilot?
I heard it. That was great.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I had to run that. That was pretty hot stuff. Rob, welcome back.
Glad to be back. I want you guys to go ahead and talk about these guns. I want to hear what your firsthand, hopefully spend some time at the range experiences have been.
Yes, you will. And you're going to, George has had an epiphany, and I'm going to make him state it on live national radio tonight.
Here we go.
Yes, it is. Okay, let's start with this, Morgan. As you know, I picked up my favorite carry gun.
Yep.
Has always been the Glock 23.
Yep.
For a number of personal reasons, I like the caliber, I like the size, and I like the firepower that the 40 provides in that package. And it's a tremendous gun and an easily concealable gun. I'll leave it at that. I got away from and cheated on my Glocks for a few years when I started playing with the as Tommy Lee Jones says, you know, the nickel plated sissy pistols. Uh-huh. And I don't mean to offend anybody, believe me, I have them too. But I've gone back to my Glock. I've gone Glock. Now, as you know, I went and picked up the Gen 4 22, 40 caliber, full size, the Papa to the 23,
right.
And I love it. Now, there are some changes to that gun, and comparing it to my original generation Glock 23, I really enjoy the 22, and the sound that you heard was the 22 that I'm carrying, I'm finding myself carrying regularly. This past week, I went out, and I added, and I have to say this, I got rid of the Smith & Wesson M&P 9 full size, and moved back to the Generation 4 Glock 17. So I've added yet another Glock, Rob. So I've got three of the Glocks there in that carry stable. And then I got all the, you know, the nickel-plated guns out on the side, you know, from the 1911 on down to the 25, and the revolvers, of course, that we all have to have. But Morgan,
yeah,
man, I feel like I've come home.
Well, Glocks are great guns. They, for some people, they're perfect. For other people, they like different kinds of guns. I don't try to sell Glocks. I just appreciate them. So tell us about the backstrap. Have you tried all the different adjustments for the backstrap?
I have, and I have to go, I have put it this way, I have to go naked with it. I like it mm-hmm. as it comes with the grip up near the beaver tail. The it's the reason I didn't get the RTF 17
mm-hmm.
was the 7, and I shot the 17 for a long time. Always been my favorite range gun, and 9mm, a little less expensive to shoot, easily manageable. You know, the felt recoil, as you all know, is great with the 9, especially the 17. It's a natural pointer. But I really didn't realize until I picked up the original grip on the 17 and then moved over to the Gen 4 grip what a difference it made. So I happen to like it without the back straps on it, but it is great for other people to have that option. Now, having said that, I want to move to George. Mr. Hill, I'm going to make you admit it on the air.
I went to the dark side. I got me a Glock 23 RTF2, and I found that the balance of power, the size, and the weight just make it almost a perfectly ideal carry gun. And then I decided, well, you know, this is my concealed carry gun, my carry gun. I want something, you know, for, you know, more serious work, my go-to gun, my main defense gun at home, my training gun, and, of course, for IDPA and three gun. so I decided to get a full-size version, and that was the Gen 4 Glock 22, which, if you listen here, that was the 22 slide slamming home. And this gun here has just impressed me. Again, I, you know, like Mark, I'm going naked with it with no back straps on it, the medium or the larger one. I like the way the gun feels, and, of course, I like the way the gun functions. I've fired about 400, 500 rounds through it now, and I've had zero malfunctions of any sort.
You can put another zero on that, and you're not going to have any malfunctions. Now, like Morgan, I'm not going to, you know, I don't work for Glock, but I love the gun, and like Morgan, I appreciate the Glock. Rob, I know you do, too.
I do. I absolutely do. You guys are killing me with your guns. I think, first of all, George, you use the slide lock lever. That's not appropriate. And you guys just leave your guns loaded, carry them on your hips, and
stop playing with them.
I'm getting you MP3 sound effects for next week.
There you go.
Killing
well,
me.
George, I want to I want the listener to hear your epiphany here, because I think you might have made a mistake. I think you originally said the 22. I want to make clear that that was the 23 that you bought.
Yeah, the 23 RTF2 was my first one.
All right, now tell everybody what the RTF2 is.
Well, the RTF2 is kind of like a Gen 3 Glock, but with a different texture on the grip frame.
And it stands for rough texture finish.
Yeah, it's very grippy, and it makes a regular Gen 3 feel almost slippery by comparison. I mean, the gun locks into your hand so well. It's not going anywhere. When you wrap your hands around it, the gun holds on to you. You know, it's just an incredible thing. It carries very well. Like I said, it's almost a perfect balance of size, weight, and firepower. I really enjoy it. And as a matter of fact, when I carry the 23, I also carry with me a couple of the 22 mags, because I can use the Glock 22 mag in the 23. So it's a good package.
I'm not, you know, the Smith & Wesson M&P9, I am going to regret getting rid of that gun, and I will get another one here in the very near future. It was just something from a financial angle that I wanted to trade in to the Glock 17 with the new grip. But the Smith & Wesson 9mm has treated me extremely well and fits me extremely well, which is why I really, really like the grip on the fourth generation Glock, because it feels very similar. And it fits my hand very, very well. Those Smith & Wesson M&Ps are dynamite guns. Rob, you get a lot of people showing up at class with those?
Yeah, next time you're getting rid of a 17-round, efficiently designed, polymer-framed striker.
Call you?
So why don't you send an email? I've said, you know, I did the same thing. I mentioned this last time we were all on the air together. What George is saying, I was saying in 94. I made the switch from 1911s to the Glock 23 for all those reasons. Obviously not the RTF. The regular Glock 23 at the time was an amazing balance, 13 plus one rounds of 40 caliber versus, you know, the 7 or 8 rounds of 45 I was carrying without the hassle of the manually operated external safety. Just an amazing little machine. If I had it all to do over again, I'd have gone 19. I'd have taken the 9mm. I think that most people, myself included, can control the 9mm faster, get that volume of fire, get the multiple shots into the attacker better with the 9mm than they can with the 40. The RTF finish helps. The latest Glock I've added to my collection was the RTF full-size 22, no doubt. But if I had it all to do over again, something like that Smith & Wesson 9mm or that Glock 19 fourth generation or the RTF would be an awesome, awesome choice to start with.
It would. That 19 is a really, really nice piece, and I have to admit that I did consider that, but decided, you know, because I was going to be carrying the 23 and the 22 more frequently, to go ahead and keep that 17 for a range gun and check it out. And we'll probably go back to a Smith & Wesson here real soon and just add another one and keep them all. You're on the Armed American Radio Network, and we'll be right back on the roundtable.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com.
Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Is brought to you by AutoZone. This Ivy Leaguer captured our hearts and the gold.
AutoZone. Keep your car performing at its peak all winter. Make a trip to AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Before you take on the winter roads, get to AutoZone and get everything you need for cold weather driving. Right now, save $1 when you improve your engine's performance and fuel economy with a 5 1/4 ounce bottle of Lucas Fuel Treatment and Injector Cleaner for just $4.99. Get ready to ride out the winter. Get to AutoZone today. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
By the time Sarah Hughes was 13, she'd won her first junior title at the 1998 U.S. Figure Skating Championships. She worked hard and landed on the 2002 U.S. skating team. She landed 7 triple jumps. The 3 contenders ahead of her all made mistakes. By winning the long program, Sarah's dreams of gold finally happened. This dreams of gold moment was brought to you by AutoZone.
Imagine all your important files are on your office computer, which is usually the case. So to work from home or while traveling, you have to copy files to CDs or to a flash drive or email files to yourself or sync up to your laptop. Whatever it is, it's a hassle, and half the time we forget to do it. So there's an answer. It's the answer I've been using for years. GoToMyPC. Use GoToMyPC to remotely access your office Mac or PC from any other computer on Earth. Simply log on to GoToMyPC.com and you'll have instant access to your Mac or PC. I had the computer of my home in front of me in Africa, thanks to GoToMyPC. It's easy to set up, easy to use, and as secure as online banking. If you or your employer don't have a web-based remote access service, now's the time. I want you to try GoToMyPC free today. I have a special 45-day free trial for my listeners if you use the promo code Prager. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the Try It Free button. Remember to use the promo code Prager.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Now, back to the Armed American Radio Network show. We're talking about guns, ammunition, and the right to bear arms. This is the Armed American Radio Network. Here again, Mark Walters.
A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, unless your name is Bear Daly and you live in Chicago or Oak Park, Illinois, or D.C. or somewhere else. And that's coming up on Tuesday when the Supreme Court hears the McDonald case, and it's going to be a lot of fun because guns are going to be back in the news in a huge way, guys. From, you know, the pundits are going to be talking about what they, you know, after the hearing in the Supreme Court, what they think, and you know they you know how they do it, Rob. They Justice Souter looked this way. Sotomayor wasn't talking. Thomas never says a word. He never asks any questions, and they're going to try to go back and forth. I'm going to eat a bologna sandwich in July when it comes out and watch the 9-0 decision.
Yeah, 9-0. I don't know what the bet is, but I think I'm going to I will buy you that Smith & Wesson M&P 9 back if it's 9-0. I'll
hey,
be
listen.
Happy to do that.
Don't be surprised. Sotomayor might just blow some people's minds here.
That's your 6-3. You got a long way to go to 9-0, and I'll get you a gun if it gets there.
I won't hold you to that.
I will take 5-4. I'm telling you.
Hey. Listen, a football game, you know, with a field goal in the last second is a win. A win is a win is a win. Ask the Buccaneers or the Lions. But
ask Team USA. Did you see the end of the hockey game today? The
3-2
edged us out in overtime.
Sure did.
Is a win.
3-2, but what's interesting is the pundits will all be discussing, you know, the Supreme Court case, and I know some people who will be there, and will actually be in there watching and listening intently and supporting the right to keep and bear arms, and it is widely recognized that you know the Supreme Court will find in favor of the Second Amendment in the U.S. Constitution. And it's interesting because the New York Times has a column in there that was back on the 23rd that fearing Obama agenda, states push to loosen gun laws. Isn't it funny how we're seeing the states fight now because of the Obama administration? I don't recall ever seeing states wanting to push an issue like they are now. And according to the New York Times, people haven't had to fear it because Obama has been largely silent. That's because that bonehead is still trying to ram health care through because he's more worried about his political skin at this point than he is about the people, and that's just his agenda, and that's what he is. George.
Yes, sir.
I know. I'm kidding on the 9-0, right?
That would be a very interesting thing, but I'd put my money on 5-4.
Yeah, I'm going to say 6-3, and Rob, I agree with you on that. I think 6-3, and I've had a couple attorneys in here that have been to the Supreme Court and argued cases, and they, you know, people are kind of leaning 6-3. I think Sotomayor might surprise some people. I don't know why I'm feeling that, but if you go back and look at her decision in the circuit court level,
well, you know, that's all a possibility. The nation is becoming a little bit more pro-gun. I mean, the Obama administration signed carry in the parks, and that was cool, and lots of states are pushing for that. You know, what happens here stays here. None of the ATF's business kind of legislation. Utah just passed one again, along with a lot of other states. So the whole nation is realizing that the gun is not the criminal. The criminal's the criminal.
Well, we're talking about the Constitution here, not guns. The Second Amendment happens to deal with the right to keep and bear arms. The First Amendment deals with the right to assembly, free speech, freedom of religion. Okay, this is a constitutional issue that's going to be decided regardless of the topic of the amendment at stake. It's the Constitution. To find otherwise is just lunacy. And it is, again, widely recognized that they're probably going to find on the right side of the issue. But, you know, the whole Sotomayor thing, I think it's going to be really, really fun to watch. I think she might surprise some people and that's just a gut feeling because, you know, her ruling on the circuit court level was she basically said, well, I had to rule that way because there was no precedent. Okay, I don't, whatever. She may surprise some people on that. I don't know. Morgan, any thoughts?
Yeah, well, I'm thinking that I'm very interested how the Supreme Court rules, of course, but I'm betting on Sheriff Mack, actually, and his theory that these decisions have to come from the ground up, and that's what we're seeing. Like George mentioned, the country is gradually swinging back to a more logical position that guns are not the crime, are not the criminals, and that this is a nation of individual liberty, of personal liberty and responsibility, and I think when a government starts to, you know, flex its muscles like it is now, and like it has for the past 40 years, whatever party was in control, it's bound to get a reaction from us. Remember, these people work for us, and we've got to tell them what to do or fire them.
Well, that's going to happen. This is going to be a really, really fascinating election cycle this year because, as I agree with you too, you know, put your bets on Sheriff Mack here. Man, he knows what he's talking about, and I can't wait to have him back. But it is going to be really fun to watch from a lot of different angles in 2010 because the battle is not just liberal conservative. The battle is literally our way of life, and it's peaked with the election of the socialist in chief. And you know, if you deny the fact that the big government president is a socialist, they're socialist policies. It's that simple. He can call himself what he wants. He's laughed at by the business community, but we won't go there. Hey, Rob, gun control has had major setbacks over the last several years. And the Paul Helmke from the Brady campaign is, you know, they gave out their scorecards, all right? And Paul Helmke is quoted as saying, we expected a very different picture at this stage. That, you know, the Brady campaign, of course, issued their report cards, and they failed the Obama administration in all seven of the group's major indicators. Last I checked, a failing grade from the Bradys means you're a free state. Care to comment on that?
I think that right now what we're seeing is a complete agenda breakdown in general when it comes to firearms control or restrictions in this country. A lot of people, Brady campaign included, thought that was banking on much more success on any agenda level from Obama, and it is surprising to me. It is not disappointing, and as I said earlier, I think that we're at the beginning of a huge wave of progress that's really going to take hold this fall.
I agree. In fact, I couldn't agree more, George.
Yes, sir.
What do you think? I know what you think, and I think the listeners know what you think relative to where we're going to go. But you're running for the Senate out there in the state of Utah, okay? And I should say the Utah State Senate. Make that clear.
Absolutely. It's remarkable that we see the Democrats with full control of the House, the Senate, and the Oval Office, and they can't get this done. We knew from the beginning that these guys were anti-gunners. This is why everybody that Obama picked for his cabinet are all big-time anti-gunners. They wanted to take our guns. But as soon as they started talking about it, what did we have? This huge Obama effect on all gun sales across the nation. And what it really came down to is they realized that they can't touch us. At least they can't touch us yet. They were very afraid. The politicians saw the writing on the wall, and they realized guns are not an issue that they want to be the nails in their coffins for.
Well, they are the issue as it heats up after the Supreme Court case, and of course when the ruling comes out in July, widely recognized to come out in July, I guess. The regardless of which way it goes, it's going to be a real smack, I think, to the Brady campaign, who has been getting beat up at every twist and turn. When we come back, we'll talk about some more fun stuff. We'll talk about some training issues in Best Defense TV and get everybody's opinions. I'm Mark Walters. You're on the Armed American Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget crossbreedholsters.com.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
This Dream Support Moment is brought to you by AutoZone. This Ivy Leaguer captured our hearts and the gold.
AutoZone. Keep your car performing at its peak all winter. Make a trip to AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Before you take on the winter roads, get to AutoZone and get everything you need for cold weather driving. Right now, save a dollar when you improve your engine's performance and fuel economy with a 5 1/4 ounce bottle of Lucas Fuel Treatment and Injector Cleaner for just $4.99. Get ready to ride out the winter. Get to AutoZone today. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
By the time Sarah Hughes was 13, she'd won her first junior title at the 1998 U.S. Figure Skating Championships. She worked hard and landed on the 2002 U.S. skating team. She landed 7 triple jumps. The 3 contenders ahead of her all made mistakes. By winning the long program, Sarah's dreams of gold finally happened. This Dreams of Gold moment was brought to you by AutoZone.
Now, back to the Armed American Radio Network show. We're talking about guns, ammunition, and the right to bear arms. This is the Armed American Radio Network. Here again, Mark Walters.
Welcome back. Check out this email. The Glock bug is spreading here in Utah. Not only did George catch it, but I now have a new G23, Glock 23, and I'm loving it too. I never thought I'd say it, but I'm a Glock guy. Joe Chetwood. Some folks here might know Joe Chetwood. Joe Chetwood is a friend of the program, and he is now a Glock aficionado, too. You're on the Armed American Radio Network. I'm Mark Walters, joined by Rob Pincus, the Mad Ogre George Hill, and none other than Morgan Boatman and the usual suspects in the roundtable. Hey, Rob, it's the best defense. I have to go back to your program again. We touched on it in the second hour, and I don't think we had an opportunity to get to it in the first hour, but it is so good regarding the workplace shooter because we have seen so much of this stuff, and we made the prediction before that as the economy worsens under Obama, unless you're a government employee, we're going to see more of this stuff. And you guys teach it so well. George, I know you've seen the stuff. Morgan, I know you've seen it. But Rob, what else can people look out for as they go about their daily deal at work?
One of the big things that we try to touch on, and again, there's you can only cover so much in that short segment on television. One of the things we try to touch on is that it's as soon as you see the behavior, the triggers and we've talked about this before, we talked about it with things like, you know, the trigger for a flood is the obvious one, right? Like if you live near the water, you put a rock, you put a stick, you put a post in the ground, you plant a tree, and the agreement is, and the family knows, when the water reaches that level, you go, period. Doesn't matter if it's cresting or was crested or you thought it was going to crest. If the water reaches that mark, you go. That way you're not trying to make a decision under stress. You're not second-guessing yourself. You're not letting emotions during an event get the best of you. Same thing. You say that the minute a worker who's been fired and told not to come back to the premises comes back to the premises, you immediately, you know, notify security. You immediately tell somebody to get the boss. You immediately maybe call the police, whatever your procedures are. And similarly, if you're that customer and you see someone come in and he skips the line, you know, that was the example in the bank scene. You know, the guy who skips the line and goes right up to the counter, something's wrong. That's abnormal behavior. You should immediately start thinking about making sure that you and your family or you and your friends are paying attention and thinking about maybe just, you know, leaving, dropping that 20 on the table and going somewhere else if that argument's going to start. If you're at the restaurant or if you're in the bank, you know what, hit the drive-through or hit the bank on another day and just get out of there before it explodes, because you don't know. You know, that's the best scenario. That's the best defense, is as soon as you see those triggers, you execute your planned response.
And that's the key word, paying attention.
Pay attention.
And see, most people, they go around without paying attention. If you make the decision to carry a gun, you automatically start paying attention because you've got the means to not put it lightly, to kill someone.
Right.
So you have a responsibility to pay attention.
Morgan, that's spoken, you know, it's preparation, avoidance, and awareness.
That's right.
Okay, we talk about it all the time. We talk about it on the roundtable all the time. And yeah. Rob teaches it very well. George teaches it well. Gabe Suarez teaches it well. Massad teaches it well.
It happens to unarmed martial artists, too.
Sure.
Their awareness increases. If we could just teach people, they don't have to carry guns. If we could just teach people to be aware, crime would stop.
Sure.
We don't have to go around. What people are afraid of is that, you know, people with guns are going to go around and start shooting people. Crime decreases with an armed society because people become aware of what's around them.
Well, you know what? You have to be. And I'm going to tell a quick story. I was an employer for a number of years, owned a business, and had an employee that wasn't working out, long story short, and was exhibiting some behavior that I was uncomfortable with, and took the necessary steps to make sure that I was lawful in what I did in relieving that employee of his duties a number of years ago. It was back in 2002 down in Tampa, Florida. And I was very uncomfortable with this individual. And, you know, I was armed in my workplace, as I always am. And I had my gun with him the day I was going to let him go, as I did every day. You know, and you trust your gut instinct. 2 years later, I found out that he murdered his wife, and he's now sitting on a voluntary manslaughter charge in Georgia, but coincidentally, for a 20-year no parole sentence. And I had, you know, you trust your gut instinct. You trust your gut instinct. You have to learn to trust that gut instinct. And Rob, you guys touch on it really, really well. And I think that's what you're alluding to, like, you know, that initial behavior, the guy cutting to the line and coming in angry, you know, and you portrayed it so well on Best Defense, where, you know, your gut instinct was to react to that immediately and your ears perked up. What can you do? You guys work with employers at all? Do you know a guy who's let somebody go? How do you handle that from an employer standpoint? Maybe not just from a patron, for example, in the bank.
Yeah, on the security standpoint, I mean, that's part of the security consulting, or certainly when we have private sector security guys training up for that job, that mission of escorting people off, or we've dealt with it in different places where I was an employee. When you let somebody go, you always, you know, you have to have a policy in place that allows you to not, of course, be worried about getting sued or causing a problem with you know, well, you escorted that guy off, but you didn't escort this guy off, or the security was there when you did that, or the police were there when you did this. So maybe you have a proactive policy that you handle terminations in a consistent way for that worst case scenario. You know, and that's one of the things we always talk about, is you got to prepare for the worst case scenario. So one thing we really recommend to our employers is that you not just Don't worry about the you know, the proverbial blue-haired old lady, and then the other, the young guy who you know, works out every day. You're going to do something special for him and maybe cause a problem. Because you up the ante, so to speak, or you make it a confrontation. You know what? Terminate everybody the same way and deal with terminated employees the same way. Have a policy that protects you from the worst case scenario, from the bad apple, from that person that you're talking about, that you obviously, your radar went off and you took the right steps at that time. And that maybe prevented that tragedy.
Right, and let the workplace, let the people know. I let my employees know when I let him go, and you know, he doesn't have any right to come back here. If you see him come back here, you need to notify somebody immediately. I've got an email here from Chuck Fricky, and I want to read this because he makes a tremendous point. It says, "Hey, Mark, I've been instructing firearm safety slash marksmanship for many years, many of which have been small-framed women. When I take people to the range, I take a broad assortment of frame sizes to find out which is most appropriate to their abilities. I appreciate the current discussion about specific makes and models, including your Gen 4 Glock and Smith & Wesson autoloaders, but I have a comment that I have to make. The discussion shouldn't be presented in such a fashion that it leaves the purchaser with a potentially ill-fitted firearm for product or for protection. This week's Concealed Carry newsletter hit on this element where a salesman sold a frail elderly woman a .38 snub-nose revolver that she couldn't even handle. Please don't leave this discussion as the quote-unquote ideal purchase due to the fact that they won't comfortably fit the carrier. Thanks again for your continued pursuit of the diverse content broadcasted." Chuck makes a great point. You know, we're not here. This is something, a firearm decision is something you've got to go and check out. Don't go out and buy a Glock, because we said you've got to get that thing in your hands. I'll leave that. George, I'll put that over to you because you sell them. Talk to us and answer that. Chuck made a great point.
sorry, I wasn't paying attention. I had a situation over here. What's the question again?
Okay, too long-winded on that one, George. I don't mean to embarrass you on that.
No, I apologize.
No, that's okay. Live radio, but yeah. Rob, I'll pass that over to you real quick.
Well, I think George has said it before. I've said it before. The first thing is you have to be able to hold the gun, manipulate all the levers, buttons, magazine release, decocker, whatever is on there. It has to fit your hand. You have to be able to shoot it well. That means it has to fit your hand. So not only bring a bunch of different firearms out there with you, but be able to go shoot a bunch of different firearms. Find a full-service place like George has out in Utah. Find a full-service range you can go to, or an instructor who's willing to work with you as you find the gun that's going to fit you. We all, everybody here, you know, Morgan, Mark, George and I, we have held, you know, I don't know how many different guns, dozens, and you can break those down into three or four or five major types. And it's still a wealth of experience compared to someone who's interested in their first defensive firearm. You've got to get that experience. And don't listen to what we say. Don't listen to what your instructor says. Don't listen to what the cop down the street says. It's got to fit your hand. You've got to be able to run that gun. And you really need to get to a range to figure that out. And then you decide what color, what flavor, what caliber, all those things will come later.
Exactly. And one of the biggest mistakes is when a gun owner says, "Well, my buddy has this gun, so I'm gonna buy that gun." Well, that's great for your buddy, but that might not be great for you. You got to try them out, if at all possible.
You have to, George, and you know, a common mistake. You know, people go out and buy the .357-38, you know, snub nose 2-inch revolvers, and try to put those .357 rounds in that thing. Let me tell you something, folks. You're in for a real rude awakening. If you've never fired at 38 with a 357 rounds in it, that thing will take your hand off. Gentlemen, yet again, we have come to another close of Armed American Radio. Morgan, thanks much for being here. Appreciate it. George.
Yes, sir.
Thanks much for being here. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Rob Pincus, you will be back again in 3 weeks. Maybe even sooner. I'm going to try to convince you.
I'll be back from Europe in 3 weeks, going over there for EuroShot.
There you go. Going to be an awful lot of fun, and we'll talk to you shortly. How much time do we have, Sean? See you next week, folks.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now, baby.